All right, so have you ever, I don't know, thought about like how far an employer's responsibility goes? You know, like when something crazy happens with their employee, but like outside of work?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a question that comes up all the time, especially in negligence law. Like, where do you draw the line?
Exactly. And today we're looking at a case. It's a 1990 Illinois Supreme Court case, Wadlowski v. Jerky Foods. This case, it kind of takes us to the edge of like what's foreseeable. You know, in terms of liability, and it really makes you think about the limits of an employer's duty of care.
This one is, well, it's a wild ride. It all starts at Durkee Foods, where an employee, a guy named Larry Wells, he enters a nitrogen-filled tank.
Oh, wow. Without any protection, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, no protection at all,
Wow.
totally negligent. And, unsurprisingly, this leads to some serious problems. He ends up delirious. And, this is where things get really strange. He's taken to the hospital, and while he's there, he bites a nurse.
He bites a nurse,
Yeah,
seriously.
bit her finger. The nurse, Patricia Wadlowski, is obviously injured, and this sets off a whole chain of legal events.
I bet. So I'm guessing she sues Durkee Foods, right? Saying that they're responsible for her injury because, you know, their negligence led to the employee's delirium in the first place.
You got it. That's exactly what happened. Now, the trial court initially dismissed the case against Durkee, but the appellate court, they reversed that decision.
Oh, really? So they thought Durkee might actually be liable.
Yeah, they seem to think there was a connection there, potential duty, but this is where the Illinois Supreme Court stepped in and ultimately reverses the appellate court.
Okay, so this is the core of our deep dive today. We're talking about the big question, the legal question. Did Durkee Foods have a duty of care to Nurse Wadlowski? And could they be held responsible, you know, vicariously liable for what happened under that, what is it called, respondeat superior doctrine?
Right, respondeat superior. And remember, the appellate court had hinted that there might be a case there. So what did the Supreme Court say? Did they agree?
Well, they didn't. The Illinois Supreme Court ultimately held that Durkee Foods did not owe a duty of care to the nurse in this, well, this incredibly strange situation.
It is a strange one. So how did they arrive at that decision? Like, what was their reasoning?
Well, it all boils down to this concept of foreseeability. You know, it's a cornerstone of negligence law. The Supreme Court, they said, okay, we get it. Durkee's negligence caused the employee's delirium. But they made this key distinction. The act of biting the nurse that happened later at the hospital, that was just too bizarre. Not a reasonably foreseeable consequence of that initial negligence at the plant.
So, like, they're drawing a line. They're saying, yes, there's a chain of events here, but is that final link just so out there, so unexpected, that we can't in good conscience hold the original actor responsible?
Right, exactly. It makes sense. You know, when you think about it, it's like you can see how negligence in a workplace could lead to someone needing medical treatment. But then, out of the blue, they bite a nurse. That's just, I don't know, it's such a leap.
It is. But remember, foreseeability is just one part of this whole duty analysis. The court looked at other things too, like, for example, how likely was this injury to actually occur? They said even if you have a delirious patient, the odds of them biting a medical professional are incredibly slim.
Oh, so they considered the probability of the specific injury.
Absolutely. They even called it, and I'm quoting here, an unusual and extreme departure from normal human behavior. So basically, they're saying that even if you could, dream up some crazy scenario where this might happen, it's just so unlikely in real life that it shouldn't create a duty for Durkee Foods.
That's interesting. So the Supreme Court was looking at the practicality of it all, not just some far-fetched possibility, but the actual chances of it happening.
Right, and they didn't stop there. They also considered what kind of burden it would place on Durkee Foods, or any employer for that matter, if they were held responsible in this kind of situation.
Okay, I see where they're going with this.
The court pointed out that Durkee had absolutely no control over what was going on at the hospital. They couldn't control the environment. They couldn't control the actions of the medical staff. So to hold them liable for this totally unpredictable behavior of a patient who's under someone else's care, it's just not practical. It's like saying employers have to be psychic and prevent anything weird that might happen, even in places they have no authority over.
I can see how that would just create this like never-ending expansion of liability. Where would it stop?
Exactly. That's what the court was worried about. They called it extending liability to the world at large. Like, if they said Durkee was responsible here, it could set a precedent where employers are on the hook for any bizarre, unforeseen consequence, no matter how indirect the link back to their original negligence.
So they're thinking about the bigger picture. the impact this decision would have on the law and future cases.
Exactly. Public policy considerations were a major factor. And, you know, this all ties into their rejection of the respondent's superior argument, too.
Oh, right. The appellate court had brought up respondent's superior. Why didn't that fly with the Supreme Court?
Well, think about it. Respondent superior is all about holding an employer liable when their employee messes up. But it has to be something they did within the scope of their job, you know, their employment. The Supreme Court looked at the situation and said, look, biting a nurse, that's just not part of this guy's job description at Durkee Foods. His job was cleaning tanks. His actions in the hospital, while delirious, had nothing to do with his work duties.
Right. It wasn't like he was at the hospital on company business or something, carrying out some task for Durkee Foods. He was there because of the accident at work, sure. But biting the nurse was a totally separate thing.
And the court really emphasizes that disconnect. They said the original delirium, that stemmed from his work, but the biting, that was a completely independent and unforeseen act.
So this whole case really comes down to where you draw that legal line. How far can you stretch an employer's responsibility for the consequences, especially when things get this outlandish?
And the Illinois Supreme Court in Widlowski, they drew that line pretty clearly right before this whole nurse biting incident. You know, there's actually a quote from the case that sums up their thinking perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Who is it?
They said, liability must stop somewhere short of the freakish and the fantastic. I mean, that really nails it, doesn't it? It's saying we can't hold someone liable for outcomes that are just so improbable, so bizarre that it would be totally unreasonable.
Liability must stop somewhere short of the freakish and the fantastic. I love that. It's so clear and to the point. So for all our lawyerless and future lawyers out there, what can they take away from this wild case of Widlowski v. Durkee Foods?
Well, I think Widlowski really highlights how complex duty analysis can be in negligence cases. You can't just look at foreseeability in isolation. Sure, it's important, but you also have to consider the likelihood of the injury, the burden on the defendant to prevent it, and the bigger public policy implications of finding a duty. You need to build a strong case that addresses all these angles.
So it's not enough to just say, well, this could have happened. You have to go deeper, right? Show how likely it really was, weigh it against the practical realities, and think about the broader societal impact of holding someone liable.
Absolutely. And then there's the respondent superior aspect. Widlowski gives you a strong argument to push back against claims that are just too far-reaching. If an employee does something that's clearly outside the bounds of their normal job, even if it happened after some work-related incident, you can point to this case and argue against vicarious liability, that freakish and fantastic standard. That's a powerful tool to challenge those weak connections between an employee's actions and their actual job.
This case really makes you think about the limits of legal responsibility. It's more than just connecting the dots between events. It's about figuring out what consequences an employer can really be held accountable for and where we draw that line.
And I think the court did a good job of that here. They recognized the need to compensate people who are harmed by negligence, but also upheld the principle that liability can't just go on forever, reaching every possible outcome, no matter how unlikely.
It's a fascinating balance to strike.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Widlowski v. Durkee Foods, we're left with this big question, you know, in our world, things are getting more and more complex. Everything's so interconnected. And I think this case really highlights that. So where do we draw those boundaries? Where does an employer's responsibility end when something unexpected, something, let's face it, bizarre, happens because of their initial negligence? It's a question that keeps evolving. And this case, Widlowski, it really puts that question front and center.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's definitely something for everyone to ponder.